we read here in Ecclesiastes. We're going to start in verse 12. Let's make sure I had it right on the screen. So Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 12. It says, I the preacher was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail has God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, Lo, I come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. I gave my heart to know wisdom, and I know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. Chapter 2 says, I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what does it? I sought in my heart to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just come to you this morning. I am just so thankful that we have this opportunity to stand before you, to read your word, to offer up prayers. Father, to hear your word proclaimed. Father, I ask that you'll just be with me, speak through me, and Father, that your words, your message is what's being heard. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I was thinking about something as I was... Cadence, since she wasn't feeling too good, she was laying on a little pallet we had there in the living room, and Keish was pretty exhausted because she didn't get much rest, plus she was worrying. So I told Cadence, I said, hey, I'm going to go take a shower, come back. And she was kind of already out of it, but I told her that's what I was going to do, and so I figured I'd better do what I told her. So by the time I got out, she was sleeping, and so I just laid down there. And one of the things that I was praying, that I prayed, I said, God, I'm not going to get much rest sleeping down here by her. This is very uncomfortable. And Cadence is the type of person that she doesn't sleep still. Last night, she was beside me. She was on me. She was down off the floor. And the little girl's all over the place. And so she, I don't know how she gets any rest while sleeping like that, but I definitely don't get any rest because it's not very much fun when, I mean, I'm too lazy to say get off of me, and plus she's sick, so she gets that special treatment, right? But that was one of the, but while I was laying there, I was thinking about something. I was thinking about, perspective. I was thinking about, what our mind thinks. Then I was thinking of, in the Bible it always says, my heart. Talking about with our heart, and Solomon here, when he's talking, I want to look the main verse 17. He says I gave my heart to know wisdom, and to know madness and folly, and I perceived that this is vexation of the spirit. For in much wisdom, that's what get me. We know that Solomon asked for wisdom. He could have asked for a lot of other things, but he asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with even more than that. In his great wisdom, he wanted to learn by doing and experiencing, and not by just hearsay. Because that wisdom and that knowledge that he had, he wondered, basically, he's like, I wonder why you itch after when you get into poison ivy. Or I wonder why some people don't and some people do. I wonder if I am. I'm going to go rub it all over my skin to find out. That's the kind of mentality that I see when I picture him in the way that he is talking about. He says, I tried this, I tried that. And guess what? Nothing that I've tried has been new. Everything is old. It's already all been done. The greatest man, the man who had the greatest wisdom in the world, said that nothing new is under the sun. And anything that you do to try to please yourself is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. It has no... It doesn't benefit you anything doing for yourself and pleasing the heart. Now, I've heard someone say the heart wants what the heart wants. Well, we've got something that makes us just a little bit differently than the ordinary person, don't we? Where do we say that Jesus lives? In our heart, right? Now, I want you to look at this. Your heart represents the force inside of your body that pumps your blood throughout your body. Your blood, the Bible tells us that the blood is the life force. You have no blood, you have no life. The heart does all the pumping. What tells the heart to pump? Brain, right? So, if your brain doesn't tell your heart to pump, then what are you? Dead. There's no life in you. So what came first? The heart or the brain? You're created with life. I would like to say it came almost simultaneously, but science may say, well, the heart came first, pumping it out, and then the brain slowly developed. But, God is the one who's in control of that. And science may be able to give an explanation, but they can't explain how the body does what the body does. And we get into another scripture, and I'm gonna go another step in talking about something that kind of, while I was laying there, it just kind of blew my mind. Like, I never really thought about this before. I've experienced it, but I never really thought about it. So what I want us to kind of look at is that our heart and our brain, our heart, when we talk about our heart leads us to do this, or when we say, referring to the heart in the Bible, that's our deepest desires, our ambition. Basically, our heart, what is the scripture? I was thinking about it, didn't find it, but it says, whatever is in the heart comes out the mouth, comes out your actions. What's inside of your heart, what you really believe, is going to be the way that you live your life. It's going to be the words that come out of your mouth. It's going to be your conversation. It's going to be your actions. That's what is inside of your heart. So let's look here, kind of going along with this right here, in Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. It says, no man, when he lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, in other words, where it's clear, healthy, or good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light. As when the bright shining of a candle does give you light. All right. When you're looking out your eyes, do you think that you have two eyes? This is deep here. How many of you see out both of your eyes? We all do. Isn't it interesting how you cover up one eye and you can still see? You cover up this eye, you can still see. But when you're looking out both eyes, you just see what you see. You got two eyes, but they're seeing one thing. To me, that's pretty incredible. It's blowing my mind when I was sitting there thinking about it last night. Wow. What happens when you cross your eyes? What?
You
see the tip of your nose. What happens when you take your glasses off? Take your contacts out? So, our eyes, what a remarkable thing that they are, how that the light comes into our eyes, and though we got two eyes, our eyes are working together to help us see. I can't explain how it is. Like I said, it blew my mind when I realized I had two eyes and I only see one thing. And I was thinking about this where it says when your eye is single. Like, well, because I was thinking, well, single doesn't make sense in that, because in the very next part of it talks about bad, so single must represent good. Then I got to thinking, when your eyes are working together, they have a single vision. If you're looking, this eye's over here and this one's over here, then it's going to be hard to really focus on anything, isn't it? So, and I know some people who they've had to have eye surgery to correct it. It messed up their vision. Their depth perception was off. Their peripheral vision was off. They couldn't focus where it needed to be focused. Their eyes were not healthy. Now here Jesus is giving the illustration that our eyes, what we see, now let's look at it this way. What we see, this is the way we perceive things to be right or wrong. We could all start naming. I guarantee you we could have some of the most controversial subjects in here just because of the way we perceive things. What we think is right, what we think is wrong, the way we think this ought to work, the way we think this ought to work. And that's just in the Bible. Imagine when we start getting into what is away from that, when we start getting into, you know, other things related within our life. We all have opinions. But let me ask this. Does your opinion matter? Really? Really, it doesn't. We all like to think our opinion does matter. Whose opinion really matters? God's does. If our opinion doesn't match up with God's way, who's wrong? The way we live our life, we say God is, don't we? God, I don't like what you have to say. I'm not going to abide by it. God, you can't be saying what you're saying. God, that doesn't fit with what I want to believe. God's not interested in what you want to believe. I'm sorry to tell you, He's just not. He's interested in you living a life that brings glory to Him. And that means obeying His ways. Doing what He asked you to do. Not doing what we want to do. Not looking and saying, well, I think this is right. Again, God's like, I don't care what you think. I've already given you. You're supposed to put on, and this will probably be some more that comes in, you're supposed to put on the mind of Christ. We're supposed to see through God's eyes. How do we see through God's eyes? Well, I mean, it's very simple. When parents give their children instructions, what do their parents want their children to do? All of the instructions. If I ask you guys, hey, whenever you leave, I want you to go single file because only one door is working and I don't want anybody to get hurt. I want you to go single file out the door. And you decided, you know what, I don't want to go single file. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you just start going out that door. And when you do, you knock somebody over. Cause them to hit the door. Maybe they fall down. Maybe they scuff their knee or hit their head. Silas already drew blood back there because that door's painful when you hit it. Thankfully, he doesn't remember it. But I got pictures on my phone to prove it. Nasty little gash on his head. When we do what we want to do, guess what happens to other people? There's collateral damage. That's why we're supposed to do things God's way. God had everything set up perfectly, but guess what? Somewhere along the way, Adam and Eve both decided they wanted to do what they wanted to do and not please God. They got some other thing that entertained inside their head, and they said, you know what? Maybe I won't really die, like God said. We start rationalizing things. We start saying, well, maybe not. Jesus said he was going to return. It's been 2,000 years since then. Is he really going to do it? And we start doubting. Satan loves it when you start doubting, because he could start tearing down your faith. So if we're going to look through the eyes of God, well, we've got to know what God likes, what he dislikes, how he acts, how he reacts, going back with the eye. If your body is full of light, how are you going to react to darkness? Good or bad? Good. If you're light, you're going to act good. Because if you're light and you act bad, then you're not really light. You're dark. Does that make sense? Your actions reveal what you truly are inside. We say we are good, and then we act bad. That doesn't work, does it? It's pretty simple, too. That's what he's saying. You got light, you got darkness. If you say that your life is full of light, but all you can show is darkness, then you're lying, and the truth is not in you. It's about as simply put as it can be. Now, wouldn't it be nice if we could just walk around and you see, oh, well, that person's shining, they're a good person. Oh, that person's not shining, they're bad. I guess it would go, if you got blonde hair, you're good. If you got dark hair, you're in trouble, right? That's kind of, you know, I personally don't want to know who. I would hate to be able to have the perception to say that person is right with God, that person is not right with God. For one, it would probably greatly disappoint me in who I thought was right with God that really was not. Because they showed all the characteristics that were right with God. But then they really weren't. They were lying to themselves and they were lying to everybody else. The light inside their body was dark, even though they gave off an impression of being in the light. So let me kind of keep going here. Isaiah 55. Now this is where it really gets in, where it's really, there's so much more. I don't know if you ever watched Transformers. Anybody watch Transformers? Anyone like Transformers? Anyone ever seen Transformers? Okay, well, more than meets the eye. If no other reason, I like Transformers because there's more than meets the eye. Because a Transformer is not what it appears to be, because obviously it transforms, right? Well, let's see here what God has to say. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my way, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So if let's keep it simple here. If you're going to think anything, you need to think that you're probably wrong when you're trying to understand what God is trying to do in your life. We can hope for the good, we can wish for the good, but in reality, we don't know what God is doing. That is why we are told to obey Him and not do our own will. We're supposed to go with God, not Him go with us. Because God is the one who's leading. We don't understand His thoughts, we don't understand His ways. We get a little bit of a glimpse because the Holy Spirit inside of us teaches us, enlightens us, it reveals things to us, but we are not God. We may have God's Spirit in us, but that doesn't make us God. We don't think like God. If we did, we would be perfect. I'm not perfect, are you? All right, then. You have room for improvement. And that's what we as believers sometimes fail to remember, is yes, we are forgiven, but we still have room for improvement. We're not perfect. In fact, there's a good chance that we already cast judgment since we've been here at church. You think? Someone already thought I was judging them because of the color of their hair. She just stuck her tongue out at me. Can you believe that? Do you know my mom? She does that to me too. Now, in other words, some judgments are not that bad. But how easy it is to judge. How easy it is to say, well, I wonder where so-and-so's at this morning. They need to be here. They need to be hearing this. Well, usually when we start saying that sort of stuff, we are the ones who really need to start listening. Instead of saying, they need to be here, pray for them. There may be a reason they're not here. We don't know. We're not God, remember? All we do oftentimes is we assume the worst because of someone. But we need to quit looking at that. We may say, what does God want me to do? How can I be more like Christ? How can I show the light in my life instead of letting darkness seep out? We're not very effective for Christ when we're allowing darkness to seep out. What does darkness represent? Satan, the world, right? What does the light represent? God, His ways. We know the scripture tells us that this is not our home. I like the one song, this is not our home, we're just passing through. Our home is with Jesus. Our home is where God is. God's home here is in us. This isn't His home. This is a broken world. The best is yet to come. But, this leads us here to the next verse in Isaiah 66:18. Says, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all the nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. You know, I was sitting there when I was reading this, and I'm like, well, you know what? This really sounds like Judgment Day, to be honest with you. I mean, this is what was going through my mind when I said, He's going to gather all the nations, all the tongues, and they're going to come and see His glory. His glory is going to be revealed whether they like it or not. And God's going to judge them. He's going to judge them according to the life that they have lived. Either a life of light or a life of darkness. It's really the only two options out there. Well, I was like the early morning, dawn, or late evening, dusk. That's where I was. So, you know, I had a little bit of light, a little bit of darkness. Does that sound anything familiar with the scripture that God said that He would do? They're lukewarm, right? They're neither cold or hot. They're neither light or dark. I'm going to spew them out of my mouth. God's serious about the way that He wants us to be. And you know, I mentioned back there, it's so easy for us to get caught up on, well, I'm not doing this wrong, I'm not doing that wrong, I'm not doing this wrong. What are we doing right? Do we ever start counting up what we're doing right? Well, you know what? I did. I read my Bible today. I prayed to God. You know, I talked with this person. And I'm trying to stay instant in prayer with God. And, you know, instead of focusing on what we're not doing, doesn't it seem more beneficial to focus on what we're doing right versus what we're not doing wrong or what we are doing wrong? So many times we get caught up on the negative. When you have someone who's always negative, do they ever have any positive to offer? Very little. You don't go to a negative person to get encouragement, do you? No, you go to someone who's upbeat, someone who's actually willing to encourage you. Not to someone who you feel worse when you visited with them. You visit them to try to encourage them, and then you come back like, oh my goodness, I'm drained. They zapped me. Now, yes, we got to do that sort of stuff. I'm saying, when you need the encouragement, you don't want to be around a doom and gloom type person. They say, I didn't check on this, but I've heard it, that up and around Washington has one of the highest suicide rates because the weather is not so favorable. Don't know, I have never been there, it's just what I've heard. England, heard the same thing over there. It's just not. The weather is just not favorable when you got rain all the time. When it rains, how many of you are excited about going out working in the garden? No. You got days like this, like, oh man. You go break up the garden plant, go play in the dirt, go do something outside, right? Go fishing, go swimming, go whatever. I still don't think the water's warm enough for you yet, but where do we fit in all of this? How do we, how, where, what goes comes to how we are living a life of Christ. Are we doing what's right? Are we focusing on righteousness? Oftentimes we're not. Oftentimes we're going through the motions. We're just trying to get by. But you know what? One of these days, we're all going to gather together. We're all going to see the glory of God. I tell you what, I want to see the glory of God now before everybody has to bow their hand, to bow their knees before Him. I want other people to see God's glory shining through me because I am a reflection. If there's any light in me, it is merely just a reflection of the Christ that is in me. So how do we do it? Always a good question, right? Well, first of all, we've got to talk to God. This scripture here is probably gives a great view of it here. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You wonder why David had said that. He had a lot of good reasons. If you read through the life of David. Now, put yourself in that position. You're actually saying the word, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Do you want God to know your heart this morning? I'm talking about that ugly, scary, dark corner in your heart. Do you want God to know that? We probably all have them nasty places in our heart that we don't want people to know about. But guess what? God does know your heart. He says, "Try me and know my thoughts." Man, that's asking God to be way too up in our business, isn't it? If you want to be able to look through the eyes of God, then you need to allow Him to reveal to you in your mind of where you stand with Him. I mean, we all like transparency, right? Then open yourself up and say, "God, search my heart. Know my thoughts." It says, "If there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting." What does he mean by lead me in the way of? He's saying, lead me in the right way that leads to everlasting. Don't let me go down this path of destruction. David had been there. He'd been down that path of destruction. He didn't like it. He'd also been down the path that leads to everlasting, and that's the path that he likes. Yes, it was more discipline there. There was more frustration, probably. Less living it up. But he was happy and peaceful because he was in the will of the Lord. So, let me ask you, do you ever ask that? Do you ever ask these questions, "Lord, search my heart. If there be any wicked in me, get rid of it. Show it to me." We don't often do that. "God, show me where I'm wrong. Show me my faults." Someone who really loves God and wants to become more like Christ, they are going to want to know what is wrong in their life. If it's the way I think, "God, change the way I think. Change my heart so that I can be more like you." Do you ever ask God that? I'm going to encourage you to ask this morning. Let's pray. Father, I just come to you.